there's several agreements here. There's a preferred access agreement, which is really buying between the university system and the Convention and Visitors Bureau, which allows the CVB on behalf of its designee, which is customers, future customers, to utilize this facility to get preferential pricing on designated, some specific designated facilities on campus. Then there's an agreement between the CVB and the city to provide us the funding that will then pay the system for that right. In addition, there's another agreement between the county and the system directly, which is an agreement to pay the 0.75% hotel tax that's once implemented and goes into effect directly to the system as well. So I think the action that will be looked at or explored or hopefully endorsed on Thursday night would be the blessing for the CVB to move forward with, really, I think, on two agreements. A, the CVB can't execute the agreement with the system because we don't have the money to pay them until we get approval with the agreement between the CVB and the city of College Station to pay us.
What it boils down to is that this is the paperwork that starts the ball rolling, where $36 million over a 30-year period from hotel occupancy taxes go to the Caulfield redevelopment to cover their debt service. And in return, among the things that will happen is that the CVB will be able to administer some events at A&M facilities at a rate that's less than what the going charge is.
Significantly discounted rate. And really, here's what they did, Bill, is the rent, if you were to utilize Reed Arena today, you would pay for every service that you use, plus in addition to that, you paid a large rental fee. And the fee was in excess of the direct costs. So they passed through the utility costs. If you use a security guard, you paid for it. If you used a janitor, you paid for it. If you used all these different things, those were passed through. But in addition to all of that, they would charge a substantial rental fee, which was basically profit for that facility. And those rental fees have been moved all the way down to zero.
Is there any sort of hypothetical you can give, be it at Reed or any of the other facilities that are covered in this agreement, on how much this could save?
I can give you some specifics, i.e., the current cost for the daily rental of the zone is $7,000, and under this agreement it would be zero. The current cost of Reed was greater than that number, and it would be zero. So the numbers, the daily, so if you used the Zone Club for multiple days, for example, 3 days, it would be $21,000 versus zero. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. And that makes Bryan College Station awfully competitive, or even really competitive, when it comes to bringing in events.
And let's add one more important dynamic, Bill. We also have, as part of the agreement, a 30% discount through the entire term on whatever the then applicable parking rate is in the adjacent parking as well. So that's a little bit squirrely, and I'll try to be mindful with my words, but you get, for example, there's surface parking, there is parking garages, and each one of those will have different day rates, weekend rates. Sometimes the rate is free. So obviously if it's free, it would be free. But in other instances, the rate may be $10 or $15 or $5. For example, if you've ever parked at Reed Arena in and around the surface lot, typically you'll pay $5. If there was a group that was in attendance, and they would benefit from $1.50 off of that, or a 30% reduction, to pay $3.50 instead of $5. So we also were able to, and you bring up a fantastic point, Bill, is that when the CVB is out selling our community with these facilities, which are each different and unique and allow you to attract what we believe is a different market segments of the tourism world, having them at really no cost with reduced pricing, when you're comparing that to an Austin, a Houston, Lubbock, an Amarillo, San Angelo, any of the comps, any city that would be considered a comparable city, we all of a sudden look very appealing due to that fact.
You've brought up Reed and you've brought up the zone. The list also includes the MSC, includes Penberthy, includes the Rudder Conference and Event Center, as well as Rudder Theater. So, as you said, this covers the gamut from concerts to athletic events. I'm thinking 7-on-7's return as another example, perhaps.
Yes.
I guess you can't do 7-on-7 because you can't do it on campus anymore, but you can do other events like that.
Yeah, there are a lot of sporting events that we could utilize Penberthy to do. It's a very unique field, but I think if you look at the majority of the other facilities that are a party to this agreement, the ones you just defined, much has been lost in translation that this is about Kyle Field. And while I kind of look at Kyle Field as an end to a means, it was a way to achieve what the tourism market and the CVB at our core, our responsibility and our mission is to improve the tourism economy here. And we felt like that clearly you have to have destination assets in order to achieve that. And A&M has a lot of destination assets. And there won't be many football games played inside the zone or inside the MSC ballroom. So I think that it is much bigger, and it allows us to go after some very, really, a wide array of potential corporate meetings, association meetings. It just really opens us up and makes us a valid player in the tourism landscape. I think nationwide and definitely in the state of Texas. I mean, I think there's over 1,400 associations located in the state of Texas. And when you can be very competitive, 4-H just had a recent event here that was 4 days. It was the most highly attended event that they've had in their history, over 4,000 attendees. They came in on a Sunday, checked out, stayed all the way through till a Thursday, and Reed Arena was heavily discounted, which enabled us to get that group back here. Over time, I think both cost and lack of appreciation of our marketplace drove them away to Lubbock in the 2012 fiscal year, and getting them back here in 13 was very, very important. Having the ability to utilize Reed and the MSC, that particular event used multiple buildings throughout the 4 days they were here on campus just due to the size and the substantive nature of it.
There's some sort of protection for A&M and the system to make sure they get the money that they're expecting to cover their costs?
What A&M is not going to do is help us make a guarantee that they're going to help us find customers to use them. That's now on our, that's a new responsibility for the Convention and Visitors Bureau, and I think the cities at large, the Parks and Rec Department. I know David over at the Parks and Rec in College Station is extremely excited and fired up about having access to Penberthy, because historically it's been somewhat cost prohibitive for a lot of the groups he's talking to, and now being able to utilize this agreement makes it all of a sudden overnight extremely viable, because it's always been desired, but it comes down to cost benefit. Is can you access it at an excessive cost? And the answer historically has been for a lot of groups no, but that kind of changes overnight.
And the condition that you have to give A&M a year notice to book any of these facilities, I don't see that as necessarily a problem, is it?
No, I mean, we think that a lot of these larger groups that we're going to go after, and I think that's an important message that needs to be conveyed, is there's been some concern. We're not going to utilize this facility to have local small events. If they want to have 300 to 400 folks, 500 folks, they can do that at the Hilton, and they can pay free market rent. These are going to be for large events that are substantive in nature, and I think within that, we'll be targeting those types of groups don't make, you don't make a decision as an association to mobilize thousands of your membership and do that within a six-month booking window. You typically need a lot of time to organize and disseminate information to your audience. So we don't believe that to be a prohibitor at all. And I think there we also have to work around some necessary demands that are placed on those facilities like Reed. As we all know, there's lots of sporting events, and then when you get into some championship and NCAA type events, we've got to find a way to get through all the calendar side of things.
What have been the public misconceptions, if any, about this thing that we need to get cleared up?
You know, Bill, I think one is that it's all about Kyle Field. This is a hotly contested debate, and one that, as a former player, you would probably be shocked at my response, but I think the age of college football that we live in today is arguably absurd. And this agreement was a lot bigger than Kyle Field. I think there are three major components. One is that we kept the games here. And while we could all debate and discuss how real the possibility was that they left and played games outside our community, if you look at if you had access to the numbers and the cost savings that that could have potentially generated, I think it was a much more real concern than any of us want to talk about. And I think that was to keep and retain those games here is extremely vital to the vibrance of our community in just overall health. Two is to have that stage construction over the period of time is, by, in my opinion, by having it done in a phased approach, I think we're going to get an accelerated economic impact on the seasonal workers that come in and out to work two shifts around the clock, 24 hours a day. I think there's going to be a massive impact there. And then I think three, Kyle Field was really a way to achieve a goal. We had tried at the Convention Visitors Bureau after great debate to look at our community and say, do we have destination assets? The answer was yes. Well, what's the reason we can't get to them? And it was cost prohibitive. So we had tried for quite some time to find a way to get access to great facilities that had otherwise been off limits to us historically. And this agreement provided a great opportunity. I think it's like all good relationships, they work when both sides are motivated. And I think in this instance, the university was looking for a way to pay for a very expensive stadium, and the city was looking for a way to retain, keep the games here, as well as find a way to access facilities. And we've come up with a really unique agreement that I think has achieved a win-win. I know that's an often overused term, but I credit the leadership of the city and the system both to work together to come to the table and find something that's, I believe, a really good foundation for a lot of future partnerships between the university and the city. I think it's a fantastic thing. It really, the absurdity of having multi-million-dollar facilities, Bill, on campus, and to really have a very, very low utilization rate never made sense to an old country boy from Belleville. You look at one of the other pieces in the agreement is we will get access to any future meeting space in the new Kyle Field. And a lot of people are overlooking the fact that if you've seen the renovation plans, think about the use, the cost per use of spending $500 million on a facility that's used 7 days a year for approximately 4 hours a day. And for us to be able to have access to some other, the Champions Hall, some other potential venues within the $500 million stadium, to me, make a ton of sense.
That's another win-win.
Absolutely another win-win.
Anything else that listeners need to know about this thing?
It is easy to get caught up in the emotion and look at, oh, this is just more money being given to a stadium, more money being given to collegiate athletics. You know, that's the sexy thing to talk about because it's the brand-new polished penny. But I think if you'll really take the time to understand the agreement and its intent and the infrastructure that's been laid out, this is a really good opportunity for our tourism community to target times which are not robust in this marketplace and target groups to come in and utilize these facilities that have essentially now been paid for with this agreement and go to the marketplace and compete against competitive cities in Texas and say, come look at this beautiful facility, and oh, by the way, it's going to cost a lot less than it is in any other city. And if we can strategically bring in groups at times which are down times for our community, that helps everybody. Whether you like sports or not, to me, is irrelevant. Whether you go to the games or not is irrelevant. You will benefit. Your taxes will be lower because if more people come here from outside the local area and they buy consumables and they spend their money and they drive our sales tax and they add value to our property tax, that benefits every person that lives here or rents here in the entire Brazos County. And I feel like that's a win-win.